So our little Tirza, she's our youngest of our three, she's seven. She has actually probably been, don't tell the others, the most coordinated. Okay, she's got great fine motor skills. She's got great large motor skills. She's been the one to find balance the quickest. When I would teach the kids to skate, she found her balance the fastest. We've been trying to here and there, try to piece together some opportunities for the kids to ski. And the kids are great little skiers now. But Tirza was the fastest to figure out how to find the balance and go down the hill. But she's also been the most fearful. And so this year, when we were hit with the second stay-at-home order in November, Gordon looked at me and he said, "I think for the mental health and sanity of our family, what do you think of the idea of getting some passes to Welch Village?" Well, I've been snowboarding for about 20 years, so I was quick to jump on that opportunity. Yes, let's do that for sure. It'll be our family thing. It'll be our opportunity. We can physically distance, so it's not a problem. We can do this together as a family. So we've been going, and the kids have been learning to ski even better. If you don't know, Welch Village is a ski place just about 35 miles east of here. And Tirza was just very content to stay on, you know, it's not quite the bunny hill, but it's the next hill up, and she was just going to stay there. But Gordon could see that she was capable of much more than that. So he kept showing her and coaxing her to try a harder hill. And there was this hill called Lookout, and one part of it can start on a black diamond, so she saw that. Black diamond is the hardest, and she got a little freaked out. But he said, "You can do this," and he coaxed her down the hill. And she did it like a champ, right? And after that, she was so proud of herself, she wanted to do it again. And at the end of the day, she looks at me and she goes, "Mom, that was my favorite hill." Yeah, atta girl, see what you are capable of. We're in our sermon series here called Come and See, and we've been going through the book of John. The first week, we talked about how Jesus said, "Come and see," and he calls the disciples to him. Very unorthodox at that time. And then we talked about come and see that Jesus is the light. He shines that light in the world. And last week we talked about come and see the one who sees me, the one who knows me, who sees that I'm here. And this week we are talking about come and see the one who brings me back to life. See, Gordon saw the potential that Tirza had, and she just needed the Father, her father, to call that out in her, to invite her to see for herself what she was capable of. And sometimes we just need God to call us out and show us what we are capable of. Our main text today is going to be in John chapter 11. I'm going to kind of skip all over the verses, but if you want to follow along, and if you need a Bible, we have some available that you can have and keep there in the back welcome table. But I'm in John chapter 11, and at the end of John 11, verse 43, then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth, and Jesus said to them, "Unwrap him and let him go." This is an incredible story. Jesus brought a human, a person, back to life, someone who was in the grave. Scripture tells us he'd been in the grave for 4 days already. And he brings him back to life. This is an incredible story. But why? Why did Jesus wait until Lazarus was dead? Jesus had been performing all kinds of miracles. He had been healing people. He had been healing their sicknesses. He could have come along and he could have healed Lazarus before he got to this point. But why? So, my fear, I have dealt with motion sickness. Super annoying. I can't travel in the car and read anything. I always think I could get so much done if I could just read a book or I could get some work done, but I can't because I get car sick and I've tried and tried and doesn't work, right? I've always dealt with motion sickness and a terrible fear of heights, right? And so when we go to the chairlift, now I've been snowboarding for about 20 years and I've managed to get on the chairlift and I just deal with it, right? Like it makes me a little nauseous and it makes me a little, you know, woozy and dizzy, but I just deal with it, right? And I've been able to deal with it for all this time until this year. So one afternoon, I said, "Gordon, I think I need a prayer retreat. I think I'm going to go out to Welch, and I'm just going to spend some time, just me and Jesus. It's pretty quiet. Nobody can talk to you anyway. You can't ride up on the lift with anyone else. It'll just be me and Jesus. I'm just going to spend some time in prayer and go there. And it was beautiful. It was perfect. I had a wonderful time just worshiping and praising God as I'm going down the hill until I went along this one particular lift, and it stopped. Now, in the middle of the day, this doesn't happen as often because there's not many children there. In the weekends, this happens often because usually a child is having, you know, just trying to get onto the lift and then go. But it stopped. And in my, you know, experience, I think it stopped for 3 or 4 hours. Okay. Now, in reality, I think it may have been 3 or 4 minutes, but it felt like a long time. And at first, I was doing okay. And I have this tendency to grip the back of the chairlift and hang on for dear life, which is a really great way to waste your energy, right? But I'm gripping and I'm praying and I'm like, okay. And it keeps going on. It's not just a few seconds. It's at least a minute. And then I begin to panic and I begin to breathe, okay? And I become the crazy lady, you guys. The people around me must have thought I was nuts because I start singing some hymns and I start quoting some scripture. I start praying out loud and I think it freaked everybody else around me out. Right? And then all of a sudden, I feel all the blood drain from my body. I feel like I've lost the inside, and I am afraid that I am going to pass out. Okay, it's one thing to be a little nauseous while you're sitting on the chairlift. It's another thing to be afraid you're going to pass out, and then I'm going to fall off, and I'm going to break all my bones, and I'm going to be in a body cast. This is what's going through my brain, right? This is not actually what's happening, but this is the fear that I'm beginning to experience. And then I'm getting all panicked, and the lift got going. It turns out there was something funky. It wasn't a kid. It was something funky that they had to fix. I actually don't think they've run the lift since. But I didn't realize until Adam asked me about this, how incredibly embarrassed I was about this, right? Like, I began to pray about what was, you know, the message here, and I felt like God was saying, share this, and my response was, no! No, I don't want to share this. This is embarrassing, right? But in my defense, I don't know whose brilliant idea it was to put us on a little rickety chair and hang us 35, 45 feet in the air to begin with, right? Like, whose idea was this? My dad will tease me because he doesn't understand why I'd want a snowboard. You know, skis, your feet are still separate, but in a snowboard, your feet are stuck together. He's like, why would you want your feet stuck together? He just thinks it's ridiculous, right? And I'm like, but at least they're on the ground, where they're supposed to be, right? That I can handle. That's not so bad. Verses 3-7 in chapter 11, we have Mary and Martha, these two sisters who are the sisters of Lazarus, right? Jesus knows this family well. He knows this family well. And so these sisters, they come up and they say, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. But when Jesus heard this, he says, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God would receive glory from this. So although Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, cares deeply for this family, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. And then finally he says to his disciple, let's go back to Judea. You know, the interesting thing about this is that the disciples and many others have been hanging out with Jesus for a while. They've been following him. They've been seeing miracles. They've seen Jesus, as Randy was talking about in our story, they saw Jesus heal blind people. They saw Jesus, you know, heal sick. They saw miracles happen. Jesus has been preaching about, speaking, and living out the kingdom of heaven being brought here on earth through his presence. I wonder if they began to be a little bit accustomed to this. We know you heal people. We know you perform miraculous signs. We've seen this. We've been watching it. We've been experiencing and learning from you, Jesus. And it's like Jesus takes this opportunity, this moment with Lazarus, and he's like, I'm going to show you something more. You want to know my power? You want to know who I am? Come and see something more. Verses 6-7 says he stayed for a few more days. Why? Just before this verse, so that my glory, so that Jesus' glory will be revealed Yeah, you've seen me perform some miracles. Now I'm going to show you something more. In verse 14, Jesus is talking to Martha. They've caught up with the family now. And so Martha says, Lazarus is dead. No, I'm sorry. Jesus told him plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you can really see my glory, right? And Martha, she finds Jesus, and she's talking to him, and she's like, hey, I know if you would have been here, you would have healed him, right? Like, I believe who you are. I believe what you've done. I've seen it happen. If you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. And Jesus is telling Martha, but look, I've got more. I want to show and reveal to you even more of who I am. So Gordon and I, we don't really do traditional dates. We end up doing things like playing softball together. And in the winter, we've been, you know, this year we've been doing the ski hill as our dates. And so the last time we went on one of our dates, we get in the car. I mean, ever since this moment that I had on the ski lift, like, I have not been able to ride the chairlift the same. I've just been panicking, and it's like that fear continues to return. And I'm like, this is not okay. I don't want this to steal my joy of something that I love to do. And so Gordon and I sit down in the car, and he's like, what is with you? Why are you panicking on the chairlift? You've never done this before. And so I said, I don't know, but I think it has something to do with the physical meeting the mental, right? Like, my mental fear is causing a physical response. And if I just eat enough high protein foods and get enough high energy foods before I go, it's a lot better. But at the same time, I know I need to work through this fear. And I told him I'm working through Philippians 4, verse 8, which tells us to focus on what is true and what is right and what is lovely and what's admirable. So what's true? The truth is no one falls off the lift. The truth is that doesn't happen. The truth is that it's beautiful out there. The truth is that I love the fresh air. I'm going to focus on that truth. And I've been clinging to the verse in 1 John 4:18 that tells me that perfect love casts out all fear. I am not going to let fear ruin my joy. I'm not going to let it steal my joy. The verse says there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears has not yet been made perfect in love. See, maybe it doesn't happen instantaneously on the lift, but I know that God is making me perfect in love. Over time, he is working through me, and I know he will be victorious. In fact, as I was just processing this with Gordon in the car, I began to think about, you know what, I've dealt with this before. Started when I was in high school, and I was on the high school competition speech team, and I am not a competitive person. But we were a really good team, and it was a highly competitive team. And I remember showing up after a period of time, showing up to these meets, and I would get dizzy in the middle of my speech, and I would feel like I was going to pass out because I couldn't handle the competition. But God was victorious, and he brought me through that. Happened again a little bit later in life, and we were in this crazy, crazy busy time in our lives, and it would happen while I was driving, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not getting into an accident because of this. God will be victorious, and he brought me through it. And I was reminded that when I first started preaching, I used to ask Melissa and Adam and some other people, we intercede for me. We'd be praying for me while I'm up there, because it would happen while I was preaching. And I'm like, I'm not going to let this fear steal what God is going to do. And you know what? God will be victorious in this too. And I believe that God is putting to death something in me. He's allowing this fear to die within me so that he can raise up new life. I'm not going to live with this fear. I'm going to live with something that God has for me. And I believe that God has the same thing for you. I believe there are things in your life that God wants to put to death so that he can raise up new life. Not because we can do it, not because I can talk my way through it, not because I can figure it out on my own, but because God is victorious, and just as Jesus raised Lazarus from life, he will raise us to new life.
Amen.
God wants to raise us to new life, folks. He's got such great stuff for you. God doesn't want us to live crippled by fear. God doesn't want us to live spiritually dead. God wants us to experience the fullness of life in Him. Verse 24, well, in 23, Jesus says, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha responds, "Yes, I know, Jesus. I know. We'll all be, you know, raised together in the resurrection." And I love Jesus' response to this. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Not I will be with you when the resurrection happens. Not I will witness the resurrection when it happens. Not I will hold your hand while you go through the resurrection." He says, "I am the resurrection." You want to experience a resurrection life? It is in me. And he offers a piece of himself when he raises Lazarus from the dead. And he offers a piece of himself to us. Now, I know I've heard missionary stories. There are still people being raised from the dead in Jesus' name. We got lots of medical advances here. We got a lot more opportunities. We'll see as much of that here in America. But spiritually speaking, God is still raising us from the dead. So what is it in your life? What is it that God is calling to new life in you? What is it that God is speaking to your spirit, to your soul, to who you are, that he wants to raise up new life in you? God will be victorious. We will overcome because God so loves us. He wants us to experience a resurrection kind of life in him. Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told him, "Unwrap him and let him go." Let him go. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you continue to raise up new life in us. We thank you that you are still at work. You are still performing miracles. You are still performing healing, and you continue to bring forth your kingdom here on this earth. So God, we want to join you in that. We want to be with you. We want to walk in the fullness of what you have for us. We praise you, God. We thank you. Thank you for how you continue to work in us. It is in your name and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.